I'm just as surprised as you guys. All right, if you guys will, take your Bibles and we'll start in Proverbs chapter 6. We'll read one verse there and then we'll go on to Mark and Luke. See if we can get this all to come together here. All right. Proverbs chapter 6 says this. It says, "Men do not despise a thief if he steal to satisfy his soul when he is hungry." And with that, let's go over to the book of Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, and then we will go over to Luke chapter 8 as well. All right, in Mark chapter 5, we're actually going to read both accounts of this. In this chapter, you have the maniac of Gadara. Everybody knows about him, and then in verse 21, it says, "And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live." So you guys know that story. And then, of course, we know that it's interrupted. And life is full of interruptions. And in verse 25, it says this, "And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind him and touched his garment, for she said, If I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? His disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging, and thou sayest, Who touched thee? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." Now it's going to seem a little redundant to do this, but if you will look at Luke chapter 8, verse 43. And so this is just the Gospel of Luke, and Luke is taking up his account of the story. And in verse 43, it says, "And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood was stanched. And Jesus said, Who touched me? When all denied, Peter said that they were all were with him, said, Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And Jesus said, Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue has gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." And let's pray. Lord, we come before you tonight, and we're humbled to be here, and the fact that we can come here in peace, Lord, and can hear from you. And Lord, we come tonight to your feet, Lord, and we just pray that you would speak to us tonight. We want you to be able to come into this place, Lord, and abide with us for a little while, Lord. We don't want you to be outside knocking, asking if you can come in, Lord. And we're a sinful people, Lord, but we do want you in here. And so we invite you here tonight, and we just pray that you would minister unto us. And Lord, if there's some things you want to help us with, Father, and point out to us, I pray that you would do so. Not a person, but you. And Lord, we just pray that you'd help these things come together. Lord, I don't want to cast any dark shadows on your book, Lord. I pray that you'd give some clear thoughts to come across here tonight that have been studied. And we just pray that you'd bless it. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Now, this is obviously a real famous story. And I noticed it. I was reading through, and I was reading in the book of Mark. And then, of course, there's a few. The main story is the same, of course, but there's just a few little minor details that kind of helped with Luke, so that's why I read them both. But it was interesting when I started to read. I'll actually go back to Mark. We're going to be flipping back and forth between those two a little bit tonight. But I noticed it was interesting because you have Jairus, and his daughter is sick and she's dying, and of course she does wind up dying in this story. And it's interrupted by this lady. And she has this issue of blood, and she has this plague, and she's been dealing with it for 12 years. And to deal with something for 12 years is a long time. And this really completely altered her life. And she dealt with this problem, and you know, it says in verse 26, and had suffered many things of many physicians. Not much has changed since then, you know. People suffer many things of many physicians. But she went in and she tried to get fixed, and she would tell them her symptoms. They would do all these tests and all that stuff, and they came back with no answers. Maybe they would try to go in some things, and they would try to offer some advice, and she would try something. It was just, and she suffered. And she didn't really know what to do, and so she did that for 12 years. And the Bible says that she had spent all that she had and was nothing better. And there really was no hope for her. She went through this for 12 years, and finally she was just like, I don't know what else to do. And of course, one day changed her whole entire life. And one day she had heard about Jesus, and she heard a man who was come, and he was from Nazareth, and he was healing people. And the Bible says that around Jesus there were throngs of people, and they would touch him, and they would take virtue from his body, and instantly they would be cured and healed of really whatever disease they had. And this woman thought, I have a plan. And so this lady decides, she goes, I know what I'm going to do. And she goes, I don't care what it's going to take, but I'm just going to do whatever I can just to be able to touch his clothes, because I believe that this will heal me. And so she went about that, and it said, and when she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind him and touched his garment. And man, she got down, and that picture's not there anymore. There was a picture over there. Where's that picture? There's a picture, and it has a lady's hand, and she's reaching out to touch a garment of Jesus Christ. That's a great picture. And I don't mean to cast a negative opinion of this lady. I'm gonna preach this differently, because there were some things that kind of stuck out to me that I think that can relate to our lives and really all Christians' lives. But it says that, for she said in verse 28, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And I mean, what a crazy thing to happen. I mean, what a blessing for her to be able to touch Jesus Christ and touch his garment, and instantly, whatever this problem is that you have, if you could just touch him just once, and all of a sudden, everything is perfect in your life. And you don't have any problems, and you don't have any hindrances, and you're not looked down on by anybody in the public when you go out, because as we're going to see later on, probably everybody knew about her problem. Because according to the law, they had to. And she had to disclose it. And so she touched him, and instantly she could tell something's different. It worked. And what a blessing. But then in that, Jesus Christ feels this virtue go out of him. And I don't know why he called her out. Because how many thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of people probably touched the garment of Jesus Christ and he just let him go. But there was something about this, and I'm gonna preach it a little different way. So have a little grace with me tonight. Give me some liberty here. But I think that she touched that garment and the Lord just, he reached the end of his rope. And he's just like, that's it. I'm calling it. Who was it? He goes, I've been around all these people for months now, and I have these people just, they're just touching me, and they're just trying to steal my virtue. They're just trying to get what they can from me, but I don't hear anybody stepping forward. And here it says, actually go to Luke chapter 8 again. Verse 44, it says that she came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood was stanched. And Jesus said, who touched me? And it says that all denied. So that means that even she, oh no, it wasn't me. You know, she just kind of tries to back up into the crowd and just kind of not draw attention to herself. And I'm not saying that she had, wicked ulterior motives or anything like that. I don't think that. But man, something went out of the Lord and he says, I'm not letting another person touch me and I'm not walking anymore until I figure out who it was that touched me. And he goes, who was it? And she lied. Oh, it wasn't me. And he says, when all denied, Peter and they that were with them said, Master, the multitude throng and press thee, and thou sayest, who touched me? And he says, yeah, but Peter, you don't understand. There was something that came out of me that has never come out of you. And there was something in me, it says, Jesus said, somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, man, she tried to hide. She tried to hide from the Lord because you know what? And I'm going to preach this a little different. You know what she did? She stole something from the Lord that wasn't hers. And she walked up and she touched that garment and she knew she had that virtue and she stole that virtue and she tried to just kind of creep back and get away with it. And the Lord says, no. No, we're not playing that game. And how many Christians decide that they're going to go and they're going to touch the garment of Jesus Christ? And you know, I get it. You know, somebody gets saved and they don't realize all that they've got, right? I get that. But how many Christians go and reach forward and they go through all this, they create this whole plan and they say, I got to do this. And they finally get to Jesus Christ after their search and they touch him and they're healed. And then they go, okay, that's it. I'm done. And really, in the end, it's not that Jesus Christ didn't want to give her his virtue, right? I mean, that's why he was there. But you ever give something to a kid and say, here you go, and then they just like kind of creep up and just like reach in, grab a bunch of candy and run away? And it's like, whoa, wait a second. I said you could have it, but like, you're not going to say anything? You're just going to run away? And so that's what I want to talk about tonight, and I want to talk about some ways that God has been robbed. Because she took something that the Lord would have given her, but she never asked for it. And she was a thief. And I wonder how many thieves there are in here tonight, where they've taken something from the Lord and they don't try to give anything in return. They don't try to say, hey, Lord, thank you. And even if it was just that and just walk away, but how many Christians don't even do that? And the Lord says, no. And he stops everything. And he says, you're going to step out and you're going to tell me. Right? Open your hand. Show me how many pieces of candy you have. Right? And the Lord says, who touched me? And so I want to talk just for a few minutes if I can and just kind of get these thoughts to come together. If you will, go to Jeremiah chapter 2. And I want to talk about, the title of my message tonight is A Thief in the Crowd. And I don't know here today if there's any thieves in the crowd where you've taken some virtue from Jesus Christ and just kind of tucked it away, and yeah, you enjoy a healed life, and you enjoy the salvation that you have, but that's kind of all you want from it. And in Jeremiah chapter 2, it says this, well, this, first of all, this chapter is the Lord, and man, Jeremiah opens this book up, and he just starts at it. And in chapter 2, he starts to call out Judah as a backslider, and he starts to preach to him. And so he goes through, and in verse 19, thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that this is an evil thing and bitter, that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord God of hosts. And so you kind of get a feel just from that verse, just where the Lord has gone in this chapter. And he brings something up here, and he says in verse 26 or 25, it says, withhold not thy foot from being unshod, and thy throat from thirst, but thou saidst, there is no hope. No, for I have loved strangers, and after them will I go. And then he says this, he says, as a thief is ashamed when he is found, so is the house of Israel ashamed. They, their kings, their princes, their priests, and their prophets, saying to a stock, thou art my father. And to a stone, thou hast brought me forth. For they have turned their back unto me, and not their face. But in the time of their trouble, they will say, arise and save us. But where are thy gods that thou hast made thee? Let them arise, if they can save thee in the time of trouble, for according to the number of thy cities are thy gods, O Judah. Wherefore will I plead with thee? Wherefore will ye plead with me? Ye all have transgressed against me, saith the Lord. In vain have I smitten your children. They have received no correction. Your own sword hath devoured your prophets like a destroying lion. O generation, see ye the word of the Lord? Have I been a wilderness unto thee? A land of darkness? I mean, have I really been so cruel to you? He says, wherefore, say unto my people, we are lords, we will come no more unto thee. Can a maid forget her ornaments, or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. And in this passage, I would like to say that here, you know what the Lord was robbed of? He was robbed of worship. The Lord comes in and he just wants the worship that rightfully belongs to Him. It's His, right? He saved you. It only makes sense that praise and worship belongs to Him. It's not yours to keep. And you know what God compares him to? He says, you're a thief. And you know what God comes in here tonight, and he comes in our heart, and he says, you know what you are? You're a thief. You don't even worship me. I don't get any worship from you after all that I've done for you. And man, the worship that rightfully belongs to God, Israel begins to give it to these false gods. And it's so ridiculous, but you look at your own life and you look at how easily your heart is turned against God and how easily you can think wicked thoughts against God. And then all of a sudden it's just like, well, yeah, I guess it's not that crazy. Look in Ezekiel chapter 16. Ezekiel chapter 16. I mean, it wasn't like, the Lord says, have I been a wilderness unto Israel? A land of darkness? I mean, have I been cruel to you guys? And I mean, is there something that I'm missing? No, there's not. Look at what it says in Ezekiel chapter 16 and verse 1. It says, again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations. You know, the Lord was finally fed up with Israel, and he says, I need you to tell Jerusalem what their abominations are. I need you to go in there, and I need you to point their finger at him and spell it out for him. So that's what Ezekiel does. And say, thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, and thy mother was a Hittite. As for thy nativity, in the day thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in the water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pitied thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee. But thou wast cast out in the open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. And when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast polluted in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. I have caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field. And thou hast increased and waxen great, and thou art come to excellent ornaments. Look at verse 8. Now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love. The Lord says, he goes, listen, I walked by a field and I saw this little baby screaming there and crying. It was all bloody and nasty, and nobody wanted you. And he said, this time? And he said, I went by there, and he goes, you know what I call that time? He goes, you know, when I look back in those memories, that was the time of love for you. And he goes, I sat down there, and I sat there, and I picked you up, and I brushed all those ants off you, and I took care of you, and I swaddled you. And he says in verse 9, then washed I thee with water. Yea, I thoroughly washed away thy blood from thee, and I anointed thee with oil. I clothed thee with broidered work, and shod thee with badger skin. I girded thee about with fine linen. I covered thee with silk. I decked thee also with ornaments. I put bracelets upon the hands, and a chain upon the neck. And I put a jewel on thy forehead, and an earring in thine ears, and a beautiful crown upon thy head. He goes, Ezekiel, I want you to tell him that. I want you to tell them, you guys need to go back and you need to look at what I've done for you. And in that, he says this in verse 14, and thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty, for it was perfect through my comeliness, which I had put upon thee, saith the Lord God. And you know what? After the Lord did all of that, you know, after she reached down and she touched that garment and she could feel everything. I mean, it was like a feeling that she could never describe. She had never felt anything like that before. And listen, you know what she was going to do? She was just going to walk away. She wasn't even going to say thank you. She was just going to kind of get back in the crowd and just go on back her life and just do her thing. And too many Christians do that. There was going to be no worship. You know, she wasn't going to fall down like that leper coming back and saying, I'm healed. And there's just one leper that went back. There's only one of them. But man, that one, he couldn't help it. He goes, man, I've got to say something. I mean, after this, I haven't seen these things in years. I forgot that I could even have these. He goes, I never expected to be cured of my leprosy. And excuse me, I said that wrong. And he went back, and then he was whole. Then he was made whole. And then he thought, man, I sure am glad I went back to him. I'm sure I'm glad that I went back just to give him a little bit of worship. You know, the Lord passed by and poured his love on her. And in Jeremiah 26, you know what he says? He says they robbed him. He says, you're a thief. And they decided to take their false gods and they put those in front of God, and they robbed him of the worship that he rightfully desired and that he rightfully owned. And then, if you will, go back to Jeremiah 26. Chapter 2, verse 26. Says, as a thief is ashamed when he is found, so is the house of Israel ashamed. You know, they need to be ashamed. And you know what? Listen, God finally, he calls out their sin and he reaches the book of Jeremiah and he's like, I'm sick and tired of it. And he calls them out and he points out their sin. And you know what they become? He says, just as a thief is ashamed when he's caught, so is the house of Israel ashamed. Listen, you look at verse 27 and it's at the end, it says, arise and save us. And listen, for Israel, this worship that they just tried to give the Lord at this point was just a worship of convenience. You know, all of a sudden they're in trouble and now they decide that they're going to turn back to the Lord. And so for the Lord, he's just like, why don't you go back to your other gods? I mean, you're sacrificing to them. I mean, it only makes sense. Why don't you talk to them? Why don't you ask them to save you? And he was just tired of it. It was just out of convenience. And that's how they went to the Lord. I don't know about this, but again, it makes me wonder if the Lord, if he just ever got annoyed with the throngs of people. You know, they're always trying to get something from him. And again, I know that's why he was here. So take some of this maybe with a grain of salt. But I wonder if he just got tired of them using him. You know what I mean? Because he had this virtue and he could heal anybody. And I wonder how many people tried to go and get healed from him, not even really caring about him. You know what I'm saying? They just wanted to go because they just wanted to be healed.
I'll
just read it, but in Luke 8, it says, in Luke 8:46, and Jesus said, somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. And listen, I don't know if you use the Lord for what he has, if you just go forward and you just try to take things from him, you just try to steal things from him, but there's never any exchange after that. There's never any worship given. And again, it's not that the Lord didn't want to give this stuff. I mean, he wanted to give it away, but it just seems wrong that she would go up to him and touch his garments and finally be healed and then just want to leave. Like, that's not natural. After the Lord has done this for you, after he's saved you, it's not normal. It shouldn't be right that you would try to just sneak away and not have to give any worship to the Lord. God had enough of this with Israel. He calls them out. He's tired of being robbed, but then getting worship at their convenience. And listen, Jesus Christ finally said, I'm tired of it. I've had all these people touch me. I just want to know one name. I mean, isn't there one name in here that could stand up and say, Lord, thank you. You healed me, and nobody else may speak out, but I'll stand up and just say thank you. Is there anybody? That wasn't her. She was just going to leave. I wonder how many people here are just going to leave. I'm not saying we're going to have this praise and worship service and all that, and you know, we're all going to stay. I'm not talking about that. But I wonder how many of you the Lord could walk up to you and look you in your eyeballs and say, you're a thief. You're not going to offer any worship. You're a thief. Now, thankfully, you know what it says she did? It says she trembled. Man, when she was walking away, when you were getting ready to walk away and you didn't even really know what you got from the Lord and you're walking away and all of a sudden he calls you out. And thank God he does. And man, she was sitting there and she's trying to kind of get back into the crowd and she's walking away. It says that Israel turned their backs on him. They didn't turn their faces to him, they turned their backs on him. And she was getting ready to do that. And by God's grace, he said, wait a second. And she just kind of froze and maybe kind of tried to shrink down and maybe that veil that she maybe had over her face because she was unclean, she tried to cover up and, you know, and she just kind of tried to get away. And the Lord says, no. Man, he saw her trembling. And it says that she got down before him. It says, And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. And then he's like, ah, that's what I want. I just want somebody to just fall down and make a fool of themselves in front of everybody and say, thank you. That's all he wanted. He just wanted a little bit of worship. You know, there's a song and it says, give him the glory for what he's done in your life. And really, in the end, I think a lot of the times, that's just what the Lord wants. He just wants to have a little bit of worship from you, a little bit of acknowledgement of what he's done for you. And she declared unto him before all of the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed. Listen, it was convenient for Israel to turn on the Lord. Do you think it was convenient for her to sit there and spill her dirty laundry out before everybody that didn't know about it? It wasn't convenient at that point, but she did it. And listen, it may not be convenient for you at times to worship the Lord and say thank you, but you need to. And so he was robbed of worship. If you will, go to Psalms chapter 50. Psalm 50. Again, I don't know quite if this is exactly how the story went in real life. I read these things and it kind of sparked some of these thoughts. And so if this is wrong, Lord, forgive me. But man, some of this stuff came out and I had to preach on it. So Psalm 50, look what it says in verse 15. And call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Verse 18. When thou sawest a thief, then thou consentest unto him, and hast been partakers with adultery, with adulterers. I mean, verse 15. Call upon me. He says, hey, listen, you need to call upon me. But man, those two verses in between. But unto the wicked God saith, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes? Or that thou shouldst take my covenant in thy mouth, seeing thou hatest instruction and castest my words behind you. When thou sawest a thief, then thou consentedst unto him. You didn't turn the thief away. It says, and thou hast been a partaker with adulterers. Thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue frameth deceit. Thou sittest and speakest against thy brother. Thou slanderest thine own mother's son. These things hast thou done, and I kept silence. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such an one as thyself, but I will reprove thee and set them in order before thine eyes. And then he says, now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver you. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation right, will I show the salvation of God. You know, something else that the Lord is robbed of is he's robbed of praise. She didn't offer any praise, Lord, and I get it. You could probably combine some of these points and say they're the same thing, but they're not, because I wrote the message. But in verse 23 says, whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. And really, that's what she should have done. I mean, she should have stopped. She should have healed him, and it wouldn't have cost her anything. I don't know why she didn't, other than maybe embarrassment. She should have talked to the Lord. She should have stopped him and said, "Thank you so much. I know you're busy. I know you got to keep going, but I just want to say thank you, and I'll just go about my life. But thank you." She could have just offered a little bit of praise. She was delivered that day, but there was no voluntary praise or thanks. And how many Christians have been delivered, but they offer no praise? You know, you're around Christians, and what do they do? Instead of praising God, what are they busy doing? Oh, verse 19, thou givest thy mouth to evil. They use their mouth for something else. And thy tongue frameth deceit. Thou sittest and speakest against thy brother, and slanderest thine own mother. What do Christians do? They're carnal. You know what they just try to tear things apart. They don't like something that's going on, so what do? They backbite, and they just devour one another, and they bite each other. And that's what Christians do. They don't sit there, while they could be praising the Lord. They don't do that. They just eat each other up. And you know what? The Lord's tired of it. The Lord is tired of not getting any praise. And sometimes it kind of becomes almost, it just becomes lip service. Where, yeah, we're saved, but it's like, listen, I understand that you can only say so much, but I wonder what's inside your heart. And that's what matters. Man, not praising the Lord, it's interesting because verse 22, he says, "Now consider this, ye that forget God." Oh, you forgot to give me praise. You know why you forgot to give me praise? You forgot me. I did this for you, and you forgot me. She touched that garment, and it was like, oh, finally, I'm cured. See you later. And a lot of Christians do that. Well, how many Christians are going to be in heaven that say, get there, and they say, man, who's that guy up there? You know? I don't know anything about that man. Man, he is beautiful. I can't even describe what I'm seeing. But who is that? Do they even know anything about him? Listen, the Lord's tired of it. Man, what a scathing verse. Ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, then there be none to deliver you. You've forgotten God. You know, your praise isn't your praise, it's His, and it belongs to Him. And when you don't give it out, I wonder if the Lord could go up to you and say, you're a thief. Because you're not giving me what belongs to me. Listen, your praise is a remembrance to God. Your praise, what you give out, is showing God, hey, God, I remember what you did for me. I didn't forget. I know it's just a filthy thing for me to say. I mean, what good can it do to you coming from these dirty lips? But if it's the least that I can give you, Lord, I just want you to know that I haven't forgotten you. When's the last time you've done that? Go to Isaiah chapter 38. Isaiah chapter 38. Isaiah chapter 38 and verse 18. Listen, the opportunity will not always be there to praise the Lord. For the grave cannot praise thee. Death cannot celebrate thee. They that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. Listen, I know we say it all the time, but you're not going to be able to praise the Lord forever. One day you're going to die, and really at that point, after that, it doesn't really matter. Yeah, you're going to get to heaven, you're going to praise the Lord with a perfect body, a perfect heart, a perfect mind. And it will be His praise, and it rightfully belongs to Him, but it probably doesn't mean as much from somebody that's broken now in this life. You know what He said to the maniac of Gadara? He says, the maniac of Gadara wanted to go with Jesus. He goes, no, just stay here and just tell your friends what great things He hath done for you. He had compassion on you. Just tell them that. And I wonder if he just said, that's all you want me to do? Yeah, that's it. I can do that. Piece of cake. I'll give you praise all the time. I can do that anytime you want. I didn't have time to write this down, so I'm going to have to do this. There was a case of a man who would take a commuter train out of New York, and he would do this every day. And he would get on a train at 5 o'clock, and he would travel 50 miles, and he would have enough time to walk through 4 cars every day, Monday through Friday. And every day he would walk through those cars, and he would lean over to each seat and say something. And a man would witness this, and he would see every day this old guy, and he would just get up, and he would go through the first car, and he would just lean over to the first chair and say something, and go to the next, and go to the next. And he would do that Monday through Friday. And that's all he would do. And finally he was asked, excuse me, sir, what are you trying to say? And he said, excuse me, but if any of your friends are blind, tell them to consult Dr. Garlow. He restored my sight. That was his way to praise the Lord. He said, listen, if anybody's blind in here, if you have any blind friends, if you have anybody sick, right? If you have anybody with a disease of blood, I know who can heal you. And he would just lean forward and say, consult Dr. Garlow. He healed my sight. You know how many, well, I wonder if that's all the Lord wants you to do. Is just go around and just tell what great things He hath done for thee. When's the last time you've done that? I don't know. Do you have any blind friends? I mean, I don't know about you, but I could probably go find some blind people real quick. Have you told them? Or have you robbed him of his praise? If you will, go to Hosea chapter 7. Hosea chapter 7. This one is a little more obscure, so you'll have to bear with a little bit. But in Hosea chapter 7, verse 1, Hosea chapter 7, verse 1, he says, "When I would have healed Israel, then the iniquity of Ephraim was discovered, and the wicked and the wickedness of Samaria, for they commit falsehood, and the thief cometh in, and the troop of robbers spoil without. And they consider not in their hearts that I remember all their wickedness. Now their own doings they have beset them about. They are before my face. They make the king glad with their wickedness and the princes with their lies. They are all adulterers as an oven heated by the baker who ceaseth from raising after they have kneaded the dough until it be leavened. In the day of our king, the princes have made him sick with bottles of wine. He stretched out his hand with scorners, for they have made ready their heart like an oven whilst they lie in wait. Their baker sleepeth all night, and in the morning it burneth as a flaming fire. They are all hot as an oven, and they have devoured their judges. All their kings are fallen. There is none among them that calleth unto me. Ephraim hath mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake not turned. Strangers have devoured his strength. He knoweth it not. Yea, gray hairs are here and there upon him, yet he knoweth not. And the pride of Israel testifieth to his face, and they do not return to the Lord their God, nor seek him for all his service. Ephraim is like a silly dove without heart. They call to Egypt. They go to Assyria. When they shall go, I will spread my net upon them. I will bring them down as the fowls of heaven. I will chastise them for as their congregation hath heard. Woe unto them, for they have fled from me. Destruction unto them, because they have transgressed against me. Though I have redeemed them, yet they have spoken lies against me. They have not cried unto me with their heart when they howled upon their beds. They assemble themselves for corn and wine. They have rebelled against me. Though I have bound and strengthened their arms, yet do they imagine mischief against me. They return, but not to the Most High. They are like a deceitful bow. Their princes shall fall by a sword for the rage of their tongue. This shall be their derision in the land of Egypt." If you will look at verse 17 of chapter 4. Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. Their drink is sour. They have committed whoredoms continually. Her rules with shame do love give ye. The wind hath bound her up in her wings. They shall be ashamed because of their sacrifices. You know, one thing that the Lord can be robbed of is he can be robbed of his sacrifices. The Lord got to a point so far with Israel. Israel got so far down, he just said, "Don't even talk to Ephraim. Leave him alone. They're joined to idols. I'm not even getting sacrifices anymore." And when you begin to sacrifice to other gods, you know what you're doing? You're robbing God of his sacrifice. And listen, it's a very sad thing. Verse 19, "The wind hath bound her up, and the wind hath bound her up in her wings, and they shall be ashamed because of their sacrifice." They're going to be ashamed. And listen, when the time comes for you to end this life, you know what? You're going to get to heaven, and you know what you're going to be? You're going to be ashamed because you robbed him of his sacrifices. When the Lord gave you opportunity to make a sacrifice for him, Even, we know this, Hebrews 13, the sacrifice of your lips giving praise unto him. I mean, that's not hard. But listen, he just said, leave him alone. And I wouldn't think anybody in here is at that point. But if there is, you need to get back to the Lord. They robbed him of his sacrifices. The Lord walks through there, and you know what he says? He says, you're just a bunch of thieves. That belongs to me. What you're giving to somebody else, that belongs to me. He says, you're a thief. And that young lady touched that garment, and she was just gonna steal that virtue. And she was just gonna leave. And I wonder if you're gonna leave. I wonder if you're gonna walk out tonight. I wonder if you're gonna walk out and say, I've got the virtue. I don't need to give anything else. Is that you? Is that me? Listen, that word kept showing up there, a word kept showing up, and it was being ashamed. And being ashamed. If you guys will, and in closing, if you will, let's just turn to just a couple more spots, but go to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. You don't want to be ashamed at his coming. You don't want that. Listen, give him what he deserves. Give him what is rightfully his. Don't steal something from him. Don't be a thief. 1 Peter chapter 4, and look at what it says in verse 16. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if not first at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And for the righteous scarcely be and if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well doing as unto a faithful Creator. Listen, you don't want to be ashamed. And listen, in this life we suffer things, and I am not the person to speak on this, but you want to make sure that you're suffering as a Christian. You don't want to make sure that you're going to be ashamed at that judgment because you're a thief and you haven't given things that belong to him. Go to 1 John chapter 2. 'Now, little children, abide in him, and when he shall appear, we shall have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming.' Listen, when Jesus Christ comes back, you need to have confidence. If you don't have confidence, you're ashamed because, ooh, there's some things that I went into your room, Lord, and I went into your kingdom, and I stole some things that belonged to you. And now I'm ashamed. And now I don't know what to do. And so I don't know about you. I don't know if you have robbed anything from the Lord. I don't know if you've taken anything from him that he wanted to give you, but you just took it and left and just devoured it on yourself. If that's you here tonight, listen, if you're a thief, I don't know if you've heard of him, but there is a thief that I know about. And he did get right. And man, it was close. I mean, that door was closing. I mean, you could hear it creaking shut, and he slipped in at the last time. And you know what that thief became? He was no longer a thief. And so I don't know, maybe that's you tonight. Maybe you're a thief. Maybe you should come to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sorry for stealing it. I'll give it back to you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your goodness to us.